Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
To Ladies Talking Leafs, I'm Chris.
And I'm Sil.
Welcome to Season 5 of Ladies Talking Leafs, episode number 1. Leafs training camp is opened up, and it's exciting to see the guys back on the ice. They had their first preseason game versus the Senators this afternoon, unfortunately a 3-2 loss. So the games have already begun. It's exciting.
Yeah, I actually... I'm so surprised at how excited I am right now. I've been missing hockey like a lot more in this off season for some reason than I kind of have in the past few for whatever reason. And yeah. I'm just like super stoked to get started.
I'm obviously missing it because I actually didn't catch this game this afternoon versus the Senators, and I'm watching a repeat of the game right now. So normally I don't very often, and it's a preseason game. So I must be desperate for watching Leafs hockey. So yeah.
Yeah, just I'm glad that they're getting it underway finally. So yeah. Anyway, first, before we get into any of the Leaf talk, we want to give a shout out to a Facebook group member of the female fans of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Her name is Caitlin Amy. She was at the NHL Global Series in Melbourne, Australia, and said that the experience was awesome. And we also want to give a shout out to one of our ex-followers at Beryl Bryce, who is in Christchurch, New Zealand, and also traveled to Australia for game 2 of the series. So those are dedicated Leaf fans, dedicated hockey fans who don't really get a chance to see NHL players up close. By all accounts, it was like a sold out event. The stands looked like really full. It really looked like a hockey arena. They did a really great job of making it, you know, I'm sure there was no roof. So, but it looked great watching it.
Yeah. They, so Caitlin, I don't know if it's Caitlin Amy is her handle, I guess, on Facebook, but the, if it's Amy Caitlin, I was trying to figure that out myself. But, she said it was a great time. She had her Leafs jersey because I did manage to stay up for the Friday night game and watch a little bit of the beginning. And I was looking for Leafs jerseys and I didn't see any, but then my brother told me today he saw one. So, and then I saw Caitlin Amy. She had a photo there on Facebook, and it was great to see the fans, and they were lined up to see the Stanley Cup as well. I liked the picture. They had a picture of the Stanley Cup with the Australian Football League trophy, I guess, together. So I thought that was kind of cool to have the two trophies there. And and then Beryl Bryce, I was surprised, actually, somebody from, like, that's dedication too. Like, somebody from New Zealand actually traveling to Australia to catch an NHL game. I mean,
if that's the closest, then you gotta go, right?
Yeah, it doesn't matter who it. If it's obviously he said he's not like he didn't say it, but I saw that he's a Leafs fan. He follows us, so obviously he loves the Leafs, right? Why else would you follow Ladies Talking Leafs? I was impressed by that. And one thing I saw, a sign, it was funny. A kid there in the crowd had a sign saying, I'll trade you some Tim Tams for a hockey puck. Which, the Tim Tams, in case nobody knows, it's these little chocolate cookies that they have in Australia. Mm-hmm. And they're tasty, actually, sort of thing. So I would have taken it if I was one of the players. I would have taken those Tim Tams for a puck. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So we do have some news when it comes to the NHL Global Series in Sweden, which the Leafs are going to be a part of in November. And we'll share that. It's our own personal news. So we'll share that news in our regular season opening show on October 18th.
So it is exciting to be sure. So follow it or subscribe wherever you listen to our podcast, Apple, Spotify, YouTube, and don't miss an episode of Ladies Talking Leafs if you want to hear the news. So now it's time to get on with our show. And first off, we're going to dive right in with our thoughts on the Leafs line combinations to start from the first few days of camp. And then for a third period segment, we welcome our Ladies Talking Leafs insider, Mike Ajello, back to the show to talk about everything from the Leafs defense, William Nylander, and also the salary cap situation and a lot more. So without any further ado, let's talk Leafs.
Okay, so for the opening of camp, there are 47 players, and the team has been split into two groups. So we're just going to dive a little deeper here into the forward line combinations first that Sheldon Keefe is working with. It was pretty obvious they were going to put Bertuzzi with Matthews and Marner. That's what they had in the first few days of camp, and then. The second line, they had Tavares, Nyes, and Lafferty, which I'm not sure about Sam Lafferty there, but we'll get into that in a second. And then Nylander, Domi, and Yarncroak. And then for the fourth line, it was Kampf, Reeves, and Noah Gregor. Now, Noah Gregor, I looked up some information on him. He's a center who shoots left, and he's the only PTO, actually, that we have for this training camp with the Leafs. He played in 57 games last season with the Sharks, and he had 10 goals, 7 assists, and he was playing on the fourth line, and he was a fourth round pick for the Sharks in 2016. So that's a bit of information on him, because apparently he has a shot, I guess, depth-wise for helping us out at center. But I don't know. I think that Matthews, Marner, Bertuzzi line is going to stick. Like, they're going to get their chemistry, probably. Like, at least for the start anyways, and mm-hmm. they're going to get their chemistry going. And it seems like, especially with Marner right now, like, I guess in the scrimmage and that, they had some chemistry going a little bit, or they were getting it going. And it was funny, Bertuzzi, how he said he just has to basically glue his stick on the ice mm-hmm. and wait for Marner to give him the pass. But the one that I'm a couple of things I'm questioning here, I guess. But the one that I'm questioning, I guess, is Lafferty with Tavares and Nyes. Now, again, these are just because, I mean, it was totally different lines, obviously, in the game against Ottawa in the first preseason game mm-hmm. today, because whatever, not all the players could play. Obviously, it's 47 players in the camp. So, but these are, I guess, the main ones that we picked out. And I don't know. I think now I'm thinking of it with Nylander at center, since they decided that they want to not have this as like an experiment. They want to try and do this full time. It really puts down our right side, I'm finding. Like, they put mm-hmm. Lafferty up there. I don't know. I'm thinking maybe even like put Robertson up there or like try somebody that has a bit more. I know Keith likes the to have a defensive guy in there with two.
I think that Lafferty, I don't think he's got him up there for defense necessarily. I think that they are expecting more offense out of him because they want him to utilize his speed. He's a fast guy.
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking that my thinking is that they feel like maybe he could be, you know, the new Sean Monahan. Not Sean Monahan.
No.
Who's the guy I'm thinking of? Matt Molson.
Oh, okay.
In New York Islanders. You know, like, there's a lot of guys that Tavares played with there that he made a lot better. And so I'm thinking that that's probably what they're hoping will happen with Lafferty. And, of course, you know, Nyes so far, like, small sample size. He's, like, great along the boards, dishing out, you know, getting pucks and all of that. So
who is he playing with today? Do you know, on the Game
Nice?
Yeah. I thought I wrote it down.
God, I can't remember.
He was playing, because I know Domi and Nylander were together.
Yeah.
And Yarncroak didn't play today. I think he got hurt. Steves was on the other side with Nylander and Domi.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. And then Tavar, because Knives, I forget who he played with anyways today. But yeah,
he might have played with Minton, actually.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. Anyway, I can't remember. And I didn't write it down. And unfortunately, the NHL updated their app. And so it's such crap that I can't even go back into it now to figure that out. So,
yeah. So the NHL is not helping us out. So we'll go on here with the, I don't know. I just think, like, even Yarncroak. I mean, I know last season I said it a few times, like the guy has, and he did show it a few times, like he has a really good shot. Mm-hmm. Like he was pretty good with Nashville when it, with that shot. But I'm thinking like I think Domi and Nylander, I mean, they worked today pretty well.
Yeah, they had pretty decent chemistry today.
Yeah, for the first game. But Yarncroak, I don't know if they're thinking like it's like a Swedish thing to have him playing with Nylander to say maybe they'll have a chemistry, but I just don't see that as a,
well, I heard today when they were talking about it on the panel that this could be a little bit of a experiment of you know, emulating what Vegas did, because Vegas had like so much depth down the center. And they were able to, because of that, roll three lines that, you know, were really, really good and difficult to play against, right? So rather than having like a you know, true checking line kind of thing, they had these three very offensive, really good lines that they could roll out against anyone. And right. So maybe that's what they're trying to see, if they can achieve that with Willie in the center.
But
I kind of think he needs to play farther up in the lineup than third line. Like, he's not going to get, I mean, he played today because he was the top line center.
Right.
He got a lot of minutes. Mind you, you know, if he's going to be getting penalty killing minutes and power play minutes as well, but you know, he's going to get his time, but he's going to play a lot less than he did last year, or any year leading up to this.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No, for sure. What do you think of the ideas being a penalty killing of Matthews playing, getting penalty killing time?
Well, you know, I think we kind of looked into this a little bit. McDavid kills penalties, you know?
Yeah. I don't know.
Don't think that it's that bad an idea. Is it going to maybe affect his production? Like, potentially, or, you know, they could have, he leads in takeaways the time.
Yeah.
Like, he might even be like, I don't know, he might even lead the league in that. So
the only thing that worries,
and Marner are like the two top takeaway guys. Like, so what better to utilize? Mm-hmm. Like, even he said it, he said he has a good stick and he's interested in showing that and utilizing that in a penalty killing situation. So I have no doubt that he's going to be good on it. Like, he's very defensively sound.
Yeah.
So
no, Matthews, he is growing or has grown into a really good two way forward. And the only thing that I guess gets me nervous when I see him sometimes to block the shots and I'm like, oh, I don't like that. Like, the last, because he did at times, he was on there just like whether he was taking the draw and then he was getting off quickly, but he had to stay on because the play was stuck in their zone. So, and then sometimes he was trying to block the shot and I just didn't like that. But I mean, I guess that's the game. Nothing much you can do about that. So, and he might get more opportunity offensively.
But how come you're not worried about Marner blocking shots?
I don't know. I guess because we've seen him so much, he's too fast, I guess, right? He's like, he gets the puck and he just gets it out and he carries it out.
So, but that's the thing though, that Matthews has that skill set too, you know, where he can strip somebody of the puck. Yeah. So
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm actually excited to see it. And
Well, I guess, yeah.
Keith, I think he's going to be good at it.
Yeah. Keith says he's going to get the opportunity. I did think it was funny. I heard today they said that one of the media members asked Morgan Riley about, apparently in the scrimmage, Matthews did do some penalty killing. Mm-hmm. And they asked Morgan Riley what they thought. And he said, he did. he's like,
I guess he wasn't in his group.
Like, maybe, I don't know. But then he started laughing, right? Because he goes, I didn't even notice. He said, right? He goes, did he actually go on the PK? And I was like, oh my God. I'm like,
he's okay. Morgan Riley's another one that's going to be on the penalty kill more this year, probably too.
Yeah. Because
I think they want to use, you know, they're not going to use Klingberg in that situation, obviously. He's not probably not that great at it by all accounts. Yeah. He's probably going to get a little less power play, but more penalty kill.
Yeah. And Riley got the 25 minutes today he played versus the Sens. He had the most total, like, for the,
he's always still going to get the most.
Yeah.
I guarantee you he's going to be the time on ice leader at the end of the season as usual.
Yeah. Yeah. So, today, just to let our listeners know, too, from the game today versus the Sens, it's the Sunday game because I guess they'll be playing on Monday night at Scotiabank Arena. But of the young guys, I guess a couple of guys that I read that impressed was Alex Steeves and Roni Hirvonen. They both had good games. Steeves had a goal and Roni Hirvonen had an assist, and he had 4 shots on goal. Apparently he had a really good game. So, and then you were impressed with,
for me, the person who stood out the most was Fraser Minton. He really stood out. He was in on plays. He did really, really well in the faceoff circle. He had, 3 shots as well. He did not look like a 19-year-old out there. He definitely did take a step in his game, I think. So
he looks like he
should go down to back to the OHL and dominate this year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Actually, it's the Western. He's going to be, I think it's Kamloops.
Oh, it's Kamloops.
He's in the West. Yeah. But he looked like a big dude out there. I think when I saw him, number 39.
Until you look at his face and then he looks like a 12-year-old. Or young, to say the least. But anyway, still a baby in that way. But, you know, anyway, he looks like a good pickup so far.
Yeah.
So let's hope he keeps improving and
we'll see what happens. And I most likely at home, I would think tomorrow night's game would be like Matthews and Marner are probably going to play. And Bertuzzi. And then I guess today the goaltenders were
Petruzzelli and Hildeby.
Hildeby, sorry. And they apparently
Hildeby.
Yeah, Hildeby.
Hildeby.
He's like 6'6", that guy. Mm-hmm. So he's huge.
They played pretty well, both of them. Petruzzelli, unfortunately, for the first period, we were in the box most of the time. He had a lot of shots on him in the first period. I think they had like 16. We only had like 6 or 7. So, didn't start out well with Domi being in the box within 13 seconds for roughing, no doubt.
Yes,
which I actually think might have been a joke penalty just for fun because he seemed to be laughing. So
just to follow in his dad's footsteps, right?
Not really.
Anyways, so I think overall it was a good first game. I think taste.
They came back and they almost tied it. They actually had really good action around the net when they were trying to tie it. Right. A lot of scrums. Like there was just a lot of action. In around the net, but Forsberg, who, you know, he actually has something to prove. He played the whole game, you know, coming back from that injury. I think he really, really wanted to have like a solid game.
So he played the full 60.
Okay. Yeah. Cause I think they want to get him the reps because he missed so much, last year with the knee injury. So, all right. So he played the whole game. All right. So we've kind of covered the forward lines, at least, that Sheldon Keefe has started camp with. And we'll have a look at the D and goaltending on our show next week. So now it's time to get into our third period segment and with our Ladies Talking Leafs insider, Mike Ajello, who's joining us to chat about a variety of Leafs items going into the 23-24.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Four seasons.
So for Leafs training camp just got underway and this week, and to talk about it for our third period segment, we have our Ladies Talking Leafs insider, Mike Ajello.
So Mike covers the Leafs and the NHL as a reporter and does a podcast with HockeyBuzz.com. He is co-host of Off the Post Radio and the Leafs Convo, and he is a writer for Full Press Hockey. Mike also covers the Buffalo Sabres as a lead writer with Buffalo Hockey Now. Thanks for coming on the show again, Mike.
Good evening, ladies. I was just like, there's such an intro there. It's like, you're wasting all my time just talking about all the jobs that I have.
Sorry. It's been a couple of months too since you've been on the show. So we, yes. It's good as a reminder as to how much you do.
Exactly.
Yeah. But, so we're going to get right into it here. Actually, it was funny because my first question was about the Leafs defense. And it was funny because I saw you actually wrote a little column about it on your Hockey Buzz blog this week. And I don't know, I'm just not right now. I'm kind of worried about the defense. I'm not a fan other than Riley and Brody as a pairing. Like, they're good. They're solid. And they play well together, I think. And I don't know. What do you think about? I just think the second and third pairings, like, I don't know, Treliving, the way he was saying, he actually thinks they're better than they are somehow, or they will be. So,
yeah,
I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Well, I can't remember who asked the question, but, you know, they asked him, oh, it was Steve Simmons. Asked him, you know, do you think this is, you know, based on what Vegas had in terms of, you know, defense with all these big guys like Petrangelo and Theodore, you know, do you think you have a Stanley Cup winning defense? And Brad Treliving said, we'll see. It's like, okay, that doesn't exactly exude confidence, but I mean, I agree with your assessment. Like, I think Morgan Riley is a very good defenseman. He didn't have a great regular season last year. He had a really good playoff. I think we all know that, you know, how good of a defenseman he is. He's not a number one, and that's been the argument over the last few years. I think he's a really good number two, but good luck finding a number one. You know, if you either draft a number one or you sign one in free agency, and they don't have the cap space to sign one in free agency, and they haven't developed one. So he's it. Right. I think their defense is okay. I don't think it's great. I think the necessity to re-sign Luke Shen in terms of the physicality on the blue line was important enough. Obviously, they didn't do that, but he got way overpaid. I mean, there's no way that they were going to be able to afford what he got paid by Nashville. And God bless. I'm very happy that he did get paid because he's a good guy and a very good player. But, you know, he was making $800,000, $900,000 a year. Now he's making, what is it, like around $3 million. But I have some concerns.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not as sour on Jake McCabe as some other people are. I think he's fairly decent. I think he's a four. You know, he's a second pairing guy. Klingberg is a concern, not offensively. Offensively, he's really good. And as we've seen over the last couple of days, they're using him. And I predicted this right when they signed him. He was going to be the point guy in the power play. You know, they want Morgan Riley to be more 5-on-5, to concentrate on that. Not that he's not a good power play quarterback. He is. He's very good offensively. He's a good passer. He just doesn't have a big shot from the point, and Klingberg does. So that's going to be his role.
Do you think that I think it's Simon Benoit that got, there's this kid that he
He's 24 years old.
He's 24? Yeah. Okay. All right. Because the other guy, that Maxime Lajoie, is 25 years old.
Yeah.
Like, those are the two other guys, I guess, that they picked up that I technically have NHL experience. Like, mm-hmm. do you think either of them, because we don't have a lot of depth other than those two pickups, because the other guys, they're going to be with the Marlies, like Villeneuve and Niemelaan. They still need to develop, right? So I don't know. Well, I'm just wondering, like, even with Giordano being like close to 40, he's 39, right? He's still 39. I don't want to give him
for another week.
Yeah, that's right.
I just think, you know, there's not, you probably want to do some load management with him, because we saw that in the playoffs, Giordano wasn't the way he was during the regular season, right? Like, he played phenomenal at the beginning of the year when mm-hmm. we had all those injuries with Riley and Brody and that. But
what did him in too.
Yeah, right.
Actually. Yeah. He ended up having to play too much during that time.
Yeah, do you think either of those two guys, I guess Simon Benoit and Maxime Lajoie, like, do they have any?
Well, the issue first is salary cap,
right?
Because right now, even with LTIR with Muzzin and Matt Murray, they're a couple million over the cap. So there's going to have to be some move made to rectify that.
Well, that's actually the next question that we had.
Get ready for that
for you. So what do you think will happen then? Like, is it going to be a trade, or do you think they're just going to try to massage the cap like they kept trying to do last year, you know, with the 11-7 and all of that kind of stuff and going with shorter roster?
Well, Brandon Pridham is like a masseur. So, of course, you know, he can massage with the best of them, but I don't know how they're going to effectuate that. Because, I mean, right now, like, specifically on the defense.
Yes. Yeah.
They probably are going to have to carry seven defensemen because of what you just talked about with Giordano. Mm-hmm. And the number seven is Connor Timmins. But Connor Timmins makes $1.1 million. So can you afford to carry seven defensemen? Now, there is that rule where you can, say, have a player, if there's an injury, call them up and it doesn't count against the cap if they're at the veteran minimum, or I think like under $800,000. Like, I think Benoit was signed for $775. I think Lajoie was signed for $775.
They are both,
In case of an injury, those guys could be called up and they wouldn't count against the cap, but they have to get under the cap at the very beginning of the season. And that's the issue. So, I mean, ideally, I think they want to carry seven. I think right now you saw the pairings that what they're using in training camp. It's Riley and Brody. No surprise. Yeah. It's McCabe and Klingberg. I know I can just see people are going to say, oh, my God, you know, I wish we had Justin Hall back because we got John. No, I'm never saying that. Sorry. And your third pairing is Giordano and Liljegren. I personally think Liljegren is going to end up being elevated to the second pairing. I think he played well last year. I think he's a much better defenseman than people think. Maybe Sheldon Keefe finally has some confidence in him, even though, you know, he didn't play all the time during the playoffs. They had Shen playing with Riley, and, you know, they had enough veteran guys that they could, you know, lessen the workload on a guy like Liljegren. But I think they need to play him in the top four. He's got the ability to do so.
Well, according to his Instagram account, it looks like he worked pretty hard over the summer. Mm-hmm. So
he's a talented kid. You know, they basically took 4 years to, you know, put him through the system in the AHL. He gained a lot of experience. He gained a lot of strength. I think he's a much more well-rounded player than he was when he came over. I think he was 2017 first round pick. So, you know, it took 3-4 years. And I think that slow development has paid off. But right now, the big concern on defense is, you know, is can they carry seven, or will they only be able to carry six? And if they only carry six, then it's going to be that call up and down. Can they get Timmins through waivers? I don't think it's a problem for Simon Benoit or Lajoie to get down to the Marlies. Yeah. I don't think it's going to be a problem at all. But those are the issues that they're going to be dealing with.
Yeah. All right. Well, go on with the cap question, Sil, that you had.
I think we pretty much covered it. Obviously, they're $3 million over the cap, right? So even with the LTIR that they have right now, so you don't foresee then, though, that there would be maybe like a trade potentially at this stage.
I mean, the thing is that there has to be, unless there's all of a sudden an injury that happens that we are not seeing that. But the thing is, there is a cap on how much LTIR money you can have. So even if a player gets injured, they only can put a certain amount of money on LTIR, and they've already reached that apex. So it doesn't matter if somebody gets hurt. It matters whether they count against the cap, which means, could you see Ryan Reeves sent to the Marlies? Nobody's going to claim him with three. Well, nobody's going to claim him with 3 years at $1.3 million. And then you just, it's sort of like a Wayne Simmons type situation where he's never playing for the Marlies, but he's practicing with the Leafs, but they can't afford him at this point. That's the dilemma right now. How do they get underneath the cap?
So if they were going to make a trade, then who do you think are who's the most likely candidate then?
Not William Nylander. Yeah. Let's just say we know that you.
We didn't ask who he would like traded. I'm asking who the most likely candidate would be.
See, this is the thing that is extremely aggravating. The solution to this, and I am not saying just trade them, get them, get them out of the team. We don't want them at all. Bag of parts, just get rid. No, it's like he is a valuable asset, but nothing that has been said, nothing that has occurred over the last month or 6 weeks, starting back when the press tour in Sweden when Jeff Merrick and Elliot Friedman interviewed him, and he's like, I can play the season out. Okay, yeah, that's great for you, because at the end of the season, there's a pot at the end of the rainbow because you're going to hit unrestricted free agency. It's the team that you play for that has the dilemma. They, you're an asset, and if you walk away for nothing, then all they get is cap space. And that's a waste. Now, I'm very curious about this experiment that started, and this is probably one of your other questions. I'm very curious at what the motivation for this is.
Are you thinking it's a conspiracy?
The way Justin Bourne put it on JD Bunkus's podcast, basically if he wants to be paid as a $10 million player,
right,
that's why they're putting him at center. So if he plays really well there, then he's proving that he's worth the dollars. Well, so if he doesn't, then he is what he is.
Go back to the 8.5 or 9.
Yeah.
William Nylander is 27 years old.
Yeah.
Every time he has played center at the AHL level, and I saw him play a lot with the Marlies at the NHL level when he filled in for when Austin Matthews got hurt, or filled in when it was sort of garbage time that one year when they were tanking for Matthews, when he played center. Whenever he has played center, it hasn't been a disaster, but his defensive flaws are exposed. Now, I understand the reason why here. It may be exactly what Justin Bourne is saying. They want to see, okay, can he be the number two center to replace John Tavares when we have to move John to the wing because his speed is decreasing? I don't have any belief that he can be, because if he could have been, he would have been already. Sheldon Keefe has tried him at center a number of times. Mike Babcock, did I say that name? tried him at center. It always was a failure, not because he doesn't have the ability, but because he doesn't play the type of two-way responsible game up the middle that you have to. And now he's become better on the wing, playing more responsible defensively, but playing on the wing and playing center are two completely different things.
I have a question there though, with regards to that then. Like, do you think it makes any, because those are all kind of, you know, I think they tried it like on a whim in the playoffs one time. They tried it mid-season. Do you think it makes any difference, the fact that they're mentally preparing him for it coming into training camp, and he is getting reps in training camp to kind of grow into it a little bit, to you know, mindset's a huge thing, right? So do you think that will make any difference?
Sheldon seems to think so. I'm a skeptic. The funny thing is that what he said on Wednesday was, well, we're not planning on moving John to the wing. Right now, we're going to play all three up the middle. We're going to play Matthews, Tavares, and Nylander. Okay, that means William Nylander is going to be your third line center.
Is going to be an issue there.
Yeah. Too. So what they're saying is that we're going to have three offensive lines. We're not going to have a checking line, because David Kampf would be your third line center in a prototypical set, with Tavares being your number two, Matthews being your number one, and Nylander playing the wing. If you're talking about a three line offensive attack, then you're probably, I think they had, I think it was Domi and Yarncroke playing on the wings with Nylander. Now, the reason they're playing Yarncroke is because Yarncroke is a defensively responsible player, so he's probably there to cover for Nylander for his, you know, wants up the middle. There are two schools of thought here. One, this is a showcase. This is, we're going to play him up the middle. There are teams that are interested in him, and they're interested in seeing if he can play up the middle. And early in the season, it's not going to hurt us that much, but you know, let's show them, and then maybe they'll pay in a deal what we deem as a good return. It's either that, or like Justin Bourne said, maybe they're finding out whether it's worth the money to pay him, because he can eventually be the number two center. And if he proves that he can't be, then he's an own rental, and then they let him walk at the end of the year. I think that's the worst case scenario. If you let him walk for nothing, I think it's dumb. But if that's what they've determined that they're going to do, they're going to do what they want.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, because, I mean, you know, with the offensive guy, like, to me, like, it, especially the fact that they're thinking of starting him on the third line, I mean, that's definitely going to affect his numbers. Like, that to me, it's shades of when Kadri was in that spot, and it just, you know, it wasn't enough for Kadri, and it's like not enough ice time, you know, when you're playing most of the time on the third line. Now he's going to be getting power play minutes, so there's that. And I guess they've been also practicing on penalty kill, so maybe he's going to get a little bit more action there.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's not going to see the ice as much as he has. And, you know, switching to this role, maybe his offense is going to suffer a little bit.
I think you need the speed on the wing. Like, moving Tavares over to the wing, like, I don't know, I just think you'd rather have somebody flying down the wing rather than having a slow guy that's behind. I don't know. Like, it's, and then Treliving, I guess, like, I guess there has been some rumors, I guess, from the last, with his Johnny Gaudreau situation, how he said he's never going to do he's never going to do that again, like, to leave a player like that and then let him walk, like, leave it so long. And then obviously he didn't know at the time he was going to come into Toronto and be in basically the same situation. But I'm wondering if that's going to actually maybe potentially, I guess, make a difference here in this situation with Nylander.
Well, the situation, and Treliving said it a couple weeks ago, and he said it on Wednesday, about Nylander, you know, wanting to be in Toronto and loving Toronto. That's beautiful. I love that.
Okay. Nice sentiment.
Show me So, yeah. You know, basically it's like, okay, you love it. Okay. Are you going to take less? Well, no, I love it, but I want $10 million. Oh, great. Okay. Well, that's not the, there has to be a sort of a quid pro quo here. If you love it, then you have to do something to make it more beneficial for the team to sign you. And that's the thing. It's like, you look at the big four and you look at the picture where Nylander's up after this year, and then Marner and Tavares are up after next year. They're eligible, both of them, to re-sign on July 1st. I personally believe, and you know, I may be proved wrong, but I personally believe that next July or before the end of his deal, John Tavares will sign a 2 or 3 year extension for significantly less than $11 million.
Because, be better.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. But
now, it better be significantly less.
You know, like I would say, like, you know, something like the Joe Pavelski contract with Dallas, where I think it was like $7 million or $6 million. And like, you know, he's still a very effective player. He still scores 30 goals. He still can play center. I think that that'll happen. And that money will end up going mostly to Marner, who Marner will end up probably getting not as much as Matthews, but probably in like the $12 million range with the cap going up. But this is the issue. It's like, okay, so there's a reallocation of funds with those three guys, but you still have to upgrade areas of this team. Mm-hmm. And if you give William Nylander $10 million, then the defense that's a concern right now will continue to be a concern. So at a certain point, you have to make a decision. And this is, you know, Brad Treliving's only been on the job for a few months. But if at a certain point, Louis Gross is telling you, well, we're just going to play the season out and we'll talk about it in the summer. Not a chance in hell. Deal him at that point.
Well, I almost think, though, that you at least have to go through the motions and put those things in front of him and say, okay, you know what? This is our final number. We have trade partners for you. Mm-hmm. This is like the, you know, put your money where your mouth is kind of thing. Like, if you want to stay here, this is the number. If not, give us your teams.
Yeah. And everything that I've heard from the people in the know, in the media, like Pierre LeBrun, like Elliot, like Chris Johnston, is that maybe the Leafs weren't extremely happy with the offers that they were getting from Nylander, that they didn't think that they were worthy. So, you know, maybe it's a better situation just to play out the season with him as part of the group. Sure. But I don't think that's the case. I think you can get a return like Kevin Fiala, who I always say is a comparable to Nylander. He was an RFA, 1 year away from being a UFA. And when, he was traded from Minnesota to LA, Minnesota got a first round pick and Brock Faber, who is a defenseman from the University of Minnesota. He's a top four defenseman for the Wild now. He was a very good prospect when they traded him, and it was, I think he was a second round pick, and they got a first round pick. And if you get that from Nylander, an equivalent type of deal, and then maybe at the deadline you flip that first round pick to get somebody who fills in that spot, I don't think that that's counterproductive. I think that's the way forward here. You simply, if you can't get him to sign a deal, you cannot play out this season. But it sounds like that's what they're going to do. But again, I don't know how they're going to rectify this cap situation.
All right, let's move on from William Nylander.
We could go on and on and on and on. There's so many different permutations.
Yeah.
So, believe me, I've been labeled the Nylander hater. And the funny thing is I don't hate the guy.
I know. We're just jabbing.
No, he's just an extremely talented player, but you know, when you have an asset like that, you either have to lock it up or you have to move it because you just can't let it walk away.
I know, but unfortunately, he is like the perfect guy for this market. Like the way he is, his personality, all of that, it really, really fits because things just slide off of him.
I heard that about Phil Kessel. You know, he's an idiot savant of hockey.
No, I actually don't think that is true with Phil when he was here. Like,
yeah, it got like, underneath his skin.
It did.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think that is somewhat true for Willie too, is just show it in the media at all. You know, like he's very, very glib and always shows his, you know, Willie Stiles type of persona. But I do, you see it on the ice when he's not feeling it, you know?
I like when I covered the Marlies extensively when he was there, he's very polished. He's very in control. He doesn't say anything in media availabilities. It's all generalities. He's been trained well. I called him 90-second Willie because he would go for 90 seconds. He would say basically nothing, and then he would end it. And like I remember in a press conference, I had my phone. I was recording it. You know, blah, 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 blah. One question, two questions, three questions over with. I show the phone to, I don't think it's any problem to say. I show my phone to Steve Dangle, who was in the scrum with me, and it's 91 seconds. I'm like, there you go. There you go. He's perfect. He's the perfect man. Mm-hmm. The problem is that, you know, the pet perfect hockey player hasn't won a thing yet.
That's true. Yeah.
But he's shown up in the playoffs, so that's the thing. And in comparison to our other star players, let's just say that. But all right, we're going to move on to the new acquisitions. Some positivity on it. So who do you think out of the four guys that they got, the main guys, Klingberg, Domi, Bertuzzi, and Ryan Reeves, who do you think is going to have the biggest impact this season for the team?
I think it's obviously going to be Bertuzzi. I mean, I don't know whether like these lines that they put together in training camp are going to be, if based on the way that Sheldon Keefe has operated over the last few years, he puts the line that he thinks is going to be the unit together at training camp and then works it through training camp. And right now he's got Bertuzzi playing with Matthews and Marner. Now, I think that's, you know, that's a superstar line. Bertuzzi plays well with talent. He will protect in terms of physicality. He will, I love Michael Bunting, but it won't be like Sideshow Bob, Michael Bunting, you know, like throwing himself like a flying body wedge at Travis Konecny when he's going after Matthews. Tyler Bertuzzi will put Travis Konecny through the boards. I mean, he's a very physical player. You don't want him fighting because he's broken hands before. And that's the thing with Bertuzzi is his ability to stay healthy. I know that Kevin Allen, who's been on our Buzzcast a number of times and, you know, I work with him at Hockey Now. He basically said Bertuzzi, you know, he broke one hand blocking a shot, came back after 5 weeks, broke the other hand blocking a shot. It's like, okay, then maybe he shouldn't block shots. They're paying him $5.5 million to be a skilled but tough winger, and they need him to play with their top guys. And I think he'll be very effective playing with Matthews and Marner. Is there a possibility that they move things around? Well, you know, look at what they've done. They've moved Nylander with Tavares. They've moved Marner with Tavares. They flip around all the time. But I think if they start with that, that's a really tough line to match up with.
So you're saying there's no hope. We were talking in our last show about I wanted Sheldon Keefe to actually have a set line. Like it used to be, I used to love when you actually knew the lines, the lineup, the way it was going to... You think it's just going to continue with the
I do
whatever throughout the season, like
I think it's gonna depend on the situation of the game. That's why, like, okay, Nylander plays center, and if they're protecting a lead, Nylander is going to shift to the wing because Nylander is not good defensively. It's like they'll move David Kampf up to the third line, and it'll be Matthews, Tavares, Kampf. That's why, like, I mean, if they stick with this. David Kampf, paying David Kampf $2.4 million to be your fourth line center, that doesn't exactly make a lot of sense. I mean, he's a checking center who plays major minutes, who plays penalty kill, who's a good face-off guy. You know, a fourth line with a Sheldon Keefe team usually plays at most 11 minutes, and that seems a little bit of a waste of an asset. Yeah. So I don't know how that's going to work out,
but they say also, like, David Kampf is like the best conditioned player. I think the way they say, like, first. Yeah. And I was thinking of that too earlier. I thought to myself, how is this guy going to be on the fourth line? Like, you're wasting, like right. you just said, you're wasting him there.
Yeah, he even ran a marathon in the summer just for fun.
Yeah.
So did I. Yeah. And then you can't. No, not really. Yeah. But I mean, that's, again, do I think that this experiment with Nylander up the middle is going to last? No, I think eventually he's going to end up back on the wing, or they're going to continue to mix and match, and he'll play center one shift, and then later in the game he'll play on the wing, and we'll all be confused. And the line matchups that we put out like before the game, the morning skate, and at the in the pregame skate will be completely meaningless. It will just be, you know, like pulling our, well, I'm always, you can tell I'm pulling my hair out. But,
what about Domi?
Yeah.
That's
what I'm curious about, because I had thought that maybe, the combination that would eventually, be, a unit would be the old, and they never played together in London, but the London night, of Domi, Tavares, and Marner. Mm-hmm. Marner and Domi played for a very brief time when they were with the Knights, but I don't think Domi is a center. I think he's a left winger. I think he'll provide some feistiness and physicality. He's not his dad. He's a really skilled player. He's a really fast player, and he played really well for Dallas in the playoffs last year.
Yeah, he did. So. Yeah.
And you could tell from his comments during the summer, he wants to be here. He wants to play well, and he wants to be here. So with the talent that he has, put him in a position to succeed. So do I know that that's what they're going to, you know, that type of line is what they're going to put him with? It's possible. But the big question is, where do they put Matthew Knies? Mm-hmm. You cannot put Matthew Knies on the fourth line, and you cannot put Matthew Knies on the third line. He's a young kid. He's not, you know, defensively, I don't think he's a liability, but he's got to play with talent. He's a big kid, fat, you know, pretty decent speed, goes into the corners, plays well with skill. You know, in college, you played with Logan Cooley. We saw what Logan Cooley did yesterday for Arizona. Like, he needs to play with Matthews, or he needs to play with Tavares. But will he? Who knows?
Yeah, that's the interesting thing. I heard also with Knies that hopefully it doesn't happen, that he might end up with the Marlies for a little bit too. I don't know, like if they
he's one of the few people who are waiver exempt, but so he could go down there without having to clear waivers.
Only saw him, I guess, like just for that brief time, right, during the playoffs, which is fine. But then you to go through an 82 game grind,
yeah. I mean, there's a lot of adrenaline there in a short sample like that, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Sure. I mean, do they want to make him earn it and not just give him a spot? Of course. Mm-hmm. But we're going to see over seven preseason games what he, you know, and he'll probably play half of them, what he's got. I mean, there are a lot of players who are sort of on the periphery right now that, you know, they have a lot to prove, and we have to see whether, you know, they can make like Pontus Holberg. A lot of people thought Pontus Holberg was going to be the number four center. Well, if they play Nylander up the middle, then Pontus Holberg is going to be the number one or number two center with the Marlies. So Bobby.
Nick Robertson.
After Bobby McMahon, I was going to say Nick Robertson. Okay, so yeah. Bobby McMahon, who scored 20 goals with the Marlies last year, 20 goals the year previous. They like him. He's a big kid. Keefe liked him when he played. Then he got hurt. Then he didn't play until late in the Calder Cup playoffs with the Marlies. He's still hurt right now. He's still recovering from the injury. I think he's close to being ready. He doesn't have waivers. He would have to clear waivers to go down. But he's making like less than $800,000. So if you get rid of somebody who's making more money, and that's a guy who fills in on the fourth line, you know, there's potential savings there. So Nick Robertson is at a crossroads. Mm-hmm. I mean, I still believe that this kid has NHL ability, has really, you know, he's got an NHL shot. He's got NHL speed. He just doesn't have NHL durability. And that's the thing he's got to prove. If he could prevent himself from getting hurt and just play 40, 50 games and do what he does. I think he's an NHL player, but I don't know whether he's going to be an NHL player with the Leafs or if it's going to be with some other team, but that's the dilemma.
Bobby McMahon, I guess Bobby McMahon too, because I know Justin Bourne, I heard him talking, saying like he's really, I guess he's a fan of his. And but is he injury prone as well? Like, so, like I heard
he hadn't been, but last year was just, he came up for 8 or 9 games and played well. And then they sent him back down to the Marlies and he was scoring like crazy. He was AHL player of the week. And then he got hurt in March when they called him back up, and it was a knee injury and he never got fully healthy. I know he came back for one game in the Calder Cup playoffs. And then he may have had off season surgery. They just said he wasn't ready to resume full workouts. Now, the thing is, if he's on injured reserve, then you don't have to put him on waivers. You know, that's a way at the beginning of the season. Okay, we don't, you know, we want everybody to make their roster decisions and have their 23-man rosters. And then maybe in the middle of October, when he is ready to return, we can sneak him through waivers. But you know, with the Leafs, there's no sneaking through waivers with anybody. They always get claimed. Every single one.
We won't talk about the goaltending this time. That when it comes to that too, it's just
I can talk about it first. I can talk about it for a second because I'm fairly certain in my belief that Martin Jones will not be on this team when the season starts. He's either going to be on the Marlies or he's going to be claimed by another NHL team. They did not sign Martin Jones to be the backup. Joseph Woll is the backup. Mm-hmm. I mean, the way Brad Treliving has talked about Joseph Woll, they're believers in Joseph Woll. I think they're more believers in Joseph Woll than they are in Ilya Samsonov. Because Samsonov's a UFA at the end of the year. Wall's under contract for another year, and he's 25 years old. And he's come up through the system. And Treliving has said, well, you know, I've been following Woll since he was at the U.S. National Development Program. So he knows him. He was a well-regarded goaltender in that draft. In that 2016 draft, that draft was in Buffalo, and I was covering that draft, and I was an advocate for the Leafs taking Carter Hart, and instead they took Igor Korshkov at the top of the second round, who played one game, and said, "See ya, I'm going back to Magnitogorsk," but you know they took Joseph Woll at the top of the third round, and he's had his injury issues, but. I don't, you know, what we saw of him last year with the Marlies and with the Leafs. Yeah. I think he's an NHL goalie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. Yeah. I think so too.
We're Woll believers as well.
Yeah. The brick Woll. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So do you have time just for one more thing
I got plenty of time.
So you cover the Buffalo Sabres. Sabres, obviously, for Buffalo Hockey Now, and you've been to their training camp. So do you think that the Sabres will be making the playoffs this season?
The Atlantic Division is the toughest division in hockey.
Yes, it is.
The only team that I'd say you would write off in terms of a playoff team, and I say this with complete and utter glee.
Is
Les Habitants. They can, go swim in the St. Lawrence. they're 2 or 3 years away from being a playoff team. But you've got 7 teams that are capable of making the playoffs, and at most 5 can make it. I think the Leafs are making the playoffs. I think they're one of the top 3 in the division. I think Tampa Bay, even though they've lost a bunch of players and even though they're dissing Steven Stamkos, which I think is obscene, he'll end up walking away having a 50 goal year and walking away and signing with, let's see who she signed with.
I heard the Panthers maybe.
I heard
that would be hilarious. He'd get
the state tax exemption, and
I would love to see that. And doesn't even have to move, really.
Yeah.
They got a ton of money coming off the cap. The Panthers. Okay, they made the Stanley Cup final, but half their defense is injured still, and probably won't be back. Ekblad is recovering from surgery. Montour's recovering from surgery. You know, they're not going to probably be fully healthy until like Thanksgiving or maybe even mm-hmm. Christmas. American.
And they've lost some players as well.
Mm-hmm. Boston, they've lost Bergeron and Krejci. So they're not going to be as good. Ottawa's better. Detroit's better. And mm-hmm. Buffalo's better. But each one of those teams have little chinks in their armor. And the chink that the Buffalo Sabres have is they allowed 300 goals last year. Signings on defense and Eric Johnson and Connor Clifton, which I think will help them. Clifton was with the Bruins. He's, you know, I think he's a pretty solid defensive defenseman. Eric Johnson is a former first overall pick. Won a cup with Colorado, a very experienced guy. Okay. He'll help.
Yeah.
But the problem is with the Sabres is you've put all the emphasis, everything, on a 21-year-old goaltender in Devon Levi and mm-hmm. a 24-year-old goaltender in Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, who last year, when he was great, he was fantastic. And when he was bad, he was god-awful.
And say that name again.
Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. They call him UPL here because not everybody can alliterate that. Like Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen.
I was going to say, very impressive that you can say that so quick.
I'm good with the Finnish. But the thing is, it's like, I mean, I think Levi is an immense talent. He won the goalie of the year in the NCAA twice, the Mike Richter Award. But he's 21 years old. He played 7 games last year. And I look at this team and like you've got 2 cornerstone defensemen in Dahlin and Power. You've got Tage Thompson, who scored 47 goals last year. You've got veteran guys up front like Skinner and Tuck, and you got young guys coming like Cousins and Paterka. Jack Quinn got hurt, but they've got lots of depth in terms of young forwards coming, Matt Savoy and Yuri Kulik and all these guys. They're a really immensely talented team, but I look at the goaltending and I say, that's the one thing that if I was Kevin Adams during the offseason, I would have said, yeah, maybe I can get a Cam Talbot, or maybe I can get a veteran goaltender to be that number, be that number 2. Oh,
is that, or so will they claim Martin Jones? There's the answer.
Goaltenders, they have Levi Luukkonen and Eric Comrie, and Eric Comrie might be claimed on waivers if they try to send him down. So they have a similar issue.
Situation,
But it's like a mature under Don Granato, and if they get better goaltending than they did last year, then I think they make the playoffs. But I'm skeptical. Yeah. I don't know. It's like, I mean, the thing is, 10 games into the regular season, if Levi is proved that he can't handle it, he's a very confident kid. But I'm sorry, in the 21st century, there's only one goaltender who went either from junior or college and was at least a tandem starter the next year for his NHL team. And that guy's name was Carey Price.
I thought it was Patrick Roy.
Well, that was bad. That was back then. I'm saying 20% from 2000 going forward. You know, like everybody said, well, Jeremy Swayman did it with Boston. Jeremy Swayman was not the number one goaltender for the Bruins.
No.
So it's like, you know, it's a lot to put on Levi. And like I said, he's a very confident kid.
Well, yeah. And if they, you know, lose a lot of games with him in net, I mean, that's like crushing a kid's soul early on as well. Like, it's a lot of pressure to put on a young guy.
And then all of a sudden say, you know, say, play it out, say American Thanksgiving, late November, and they're 500 and they're maybe 8 or 9 points out of a playoff spot. And that, you know, I'm painting the worst case scenario here. And Levi has proven that he's not ready. Then what's your answer? Then it's Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen and Eric Comrie. That is not playoff goaltending. So, you know, and you're not going to be able to go out and trade for Hullabuck or trade for, you know, whoever else is an expiring contract in November. So you have to ride it out. And then by the time you can get a goaltender, it's too late.
Hellebuck wants to win the Stanley Cup. So that's only.
So he's not going to want to go to Buffalo.
He's not going to go.
But, you know, honestly, with a goalie like Hellebuck, Buffalo's
they could make some hay.
Buffalo's got so much talent. But, you know, like, I mean, okay, I bring it back to the Leafs. Yeah. Ilya Samsonov had a great year last year. You can't ignore, at times, Matt Murray did play very well and was the number one goaltender, and then he got hurt, and we know what happened. But Samsonov played really well, played above expectations. But then he got hurt. Then he played well in the playoffs, and then he got hurt. You don't know what mm-hmm. that's why they got Martin Jones. But the problem is they can't carry three goaltenders at the end of training camp. So, I mean, I think that's insurance against a goaltender getting hurt in the preseason. That's what it is. But we don't know what Ilya Samsonov is. We've got 1 year to base it on, and that's why they went to arbitration. And that's why they signed him to a one-year deal, and he's a UFA at the end of the year. And if he plays like he did last year, then I think they'll have no problem signing him to a 4 or 5 year deal. And if he doesn't, if he regresses, then I think they're in the market for Connor Hellebuyck next July.
Okay. Well, that's I think we covered all the bases that we wanted to, and we're going to get to see in short order what the Leafs really look like in the next few days when we actually get to see them on the ice again. And I, for one, cannot wait. Mm-hmm. So anyways, Mike, we thank you once again for coming on and being our guest and our Ladies Talking Leafs insider. And as for Leafs Nation, we want you to check out Mike's blog and podcast on hockeybuzz.com and the Leafs Convo. And if you want to see what the Sabres are up to, you can check out Mike's articles at buffalohockeynow.com. So if you don't follow him on Twitter, make sure you do. His handle is @MikeInBuffalo. So thanks again, Mike. And thanks, we will be talking to you again.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
All right. Season.
It was always great having Mike on the show, and he'll be joining us throughout the upcoming season, giving us his insider views on the team.
Yeah, when he can fit us in, because he has a lot going on.
Oh, yes, that's that's for sure.
Yeah. So before we go, we just want to give you a reminder to hit that follow button wherever you listen to our show, Apple, Spotify, or your favorite app. You can also find us on the Believe Network at believe.com. That's BLEAV. Or on our website, ladiestalkingleafs.com. It's also our first full season on YouTube, so you can join us there and watch our show. Subscribe to our channel and watch it there. See in-game action, videos from games that we attend at Scotiabank Arena as well. And our YouTube handle, like all our others, is at LTL1917.
Yeah, and don't forget, we'll be sharing some exciting news, big news, on October 18th. So be sure to hit that follow button and also follow us on social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Our handle again is at LTL1917. Ingrain that in your minds. And we'll just keep repeating it here until you do. And then we'd also love to hear from you. Leave us a rating or a review and let us know what you think of the show. It's easy on Apple and Spotify, and it's important for our show to get exposure as a source for Leafs content. And we thank you for taking the time.
And another way to help us out is by visiting our Ko-fi page at ko-fi.com. You can follow us there. And if you choose to, you can buy us a coffee. Any donation towards helping us produce our show helps us make it even better for you. So you can find the link to our Ko-fi page on our show notes or in any of our social media profile pages.
Yeah. And we're going to be adding some new picks that I found from Maple Leaf Gardens. The not too distant of us back in the day. So look out for that. Follow the Ko-fi page and you'll see we already have lots of pics there if you want to check out our photo gallery. Mm-hmm. But we want to say thank you to our healthcare workers and first responders for everything that they do.
So thanks again for listening and watching. Until next time, go Leafs, go.
Do you believe?
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Saving money on your outdoor project? Now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals. Save.